Yeah, yeah. Bird's eye view. You got nothing on section 336. Nah, not even cornhole. Nah, section 336, section 336, legit bird's eye view, just a bunch of tricks. You ain't Baltimore's best sports podcast. Nah, against 336, you just can't last. Cornhole, you can't play like us. The good is section 336, that's what's up. Bird's eye view is the best, so that leaves Jake and Scott the ugly playing cornhole. Section 336, Baltimore's best sports podcast. Bird's eye view, you got nothing on us. Nah, nothing.
What was that? What was that?
I think that was called free styling.
No, but
just go through the intro.
All right, so I feel like we must explain, but we'll get to it in just a little bit.
Do you think our audience is still listening?
No. Welcome into Bird's Eye View. This is your official source for lack of insight and for baseless opinion. Today is November 11th, 2013. Scott, happy Veterans Day. This is episode 58. I am Jake English here, just trying to make it to the level of Scott Magnus. If you listen to my voice, you can probably hear us at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. You can also find us at thebaltimoresportsreport.com/network. You can also catch us on iTunes at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com/iTunes. We're also available in Miro, Stitcher, DoubleTwist, etc. Also, on Facebook at facebook.com/BEVcast and Twitter at BirdseyeViewBAL. Scott, before we talk about our own shame, do you want to discuss briefly the drink of the week?
Sure. Drink of the week is a good old-fashioned gin and tonic. That's right, folks. A good old-fashioned gin and tonic.
From us, that's shocking.
I know.
Shocking.
Can't believe it.
I know. All right, so let's talk about this music situation. We had been off for 2 weeks, as is our way in the off season, and before we had taken our brief 2 week hiatus, we made a bet with Section 336 that we would beat them at Baltimore Sports Report's cornhole tournament, and the winner would get to pick the show intro music for the other. So, Scott, again, I ask you, what happened?
Well, we did great during the tournament, but you know, Section 336 got knocked out really early in the tournament, like right away.
So you're saying that we spent all of our good scores on the actual tournament?
Well, here's the situation. We were really good for that brief, like, 30 seconds, but afterwards, we are totally limped out, okay? We just didn't have no energy left. You were hiccuping, I had a sore wrist, and it was just like a normal Saturday night for the both of us.
We peaked early. Let's just say
peaked early.
We may have peaked early. So we played the tournament. I gotta be honest.
We peaked early all over the Shiroka boys.
I was impressed. We hung in there longer than I thought we would at the tournament, especially because we rolled up to this Baltimore Sports Report cornhole tournament, and there were guys there that...
Ringers!
That clearly did this more frequently than you and I.
Yeah, there are people out there, believe it or not, that drink more than us and play cornhole more than us.
So I was happy just to be, you know, in whatever round it was that we got knocked out. Because we did end up winning two games, correct?
Yeah, we won two games and we lost two games. And then we lost the third game to Section 336.
Well, that was actually... so we had the side bet, and after there were some boards freed up from a bunch of people losing, we did a best 2 out of 3 with the Srokas of Section 336, and they handed it to us.
They handed it to us pretty good. So congratulations, Section 336.
I'm still walking funny.
Yeah, you dominated us. You bent us over, and you took advantage of us just like you people do. But honestly, we kind of tanked the game, in all honesty, just so you could get to your goat show. So we took the bad music on just so that you wouldn't complain about missing your goat show. So
that's not euphemism, by the way. He actually means goat show.
Yeah, someone was actually checking their phone to see what time it was so they wouldn't miss their goat show.
It was an iPhone.
iPhone 5, right?
Just saying.
Well, those good farmers know a lot about their iPhones.
All right. So, yes, we have a wonderful theme song this week, care of our friends over at Section 336. Thank you so much, guys. And with that, let's please talk about anything else. Hey, I know what you're doing on Saturday, November 23rd.
I know what I'm going to be doing, too. It's going to be drinking. But normally every Saturday I'm drinking. But we're going to a special event November 23rd, and it's called the Guzzle and Gobble. And we're actually going to be hosting our own portion of this event called the Gobble Wobble.
You got it right this week. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Just to break it down, this is going to be a pub crawl hosted by Bird's Eye View. We're going to be going through various Federal Hill bars, including Noble, Stalking Horse, Mother's, No Way Jose's, and Rope Walk. And it's only $20. And you can go up and sign on for this pub crawl at guzzleandgobble.com. That's guzzleandgobble.com. I promise you, you will not see the Shiroka Boys doing nasty things on this website. Just go to guzzleandgobble.com. It supports a great cause. It supports Movember. If you don't know what Movember is, Google it, find out. It's sponsored by our favorite luchador, Carne Cabeza himself. Go support it. It's going to be a great time. We're all going to get wasted and get laid. It's going to be great. I guarantee you, you will get wasted and you'll get laid.
I'm also going to have ridiculous facial hair, so that's enough for me just to show up at any place.
So that means I get to shave you, right?
That's a totally different thing that is so far from anything we should talk about here on this podcast. And with that, I'm going to move on.
Guzzleandgobble.com. Go and register. Get yourself a shirt. Get yourself a mug. Come out and get $2 Bud Lights. Go. Buy it now. Do it. Go now. Go.
Wow. Okay.
Do it.
So I'm going to go ahead and move on to the twat, if you'd be so kind.
Let's go.
This week on the Twitters. I'm actually going to cheat and do the 2 weeks since we were gone, and this is really the tale of two Twitters, if you will. I feel like if your feed is anything like ours, it was bombarded with Ravens over the last couple weeks, and the first week, it seemed like people were just down in the dumps, and the second week, I think that even though the Ravens won, it was like the kind of win that nobody was happy with. But I cracked up at some of the tweets that came up 2 weeks ago. Some really horrifying stuff. Here's a tweet from I Hate JJ Redick, at I Hate JJ Redick. And at the time, it must be worse now, he said, the Ravens, 2.78 yards per carry average is the worst in the NFL. Not this season. It's the worst in the history of the league. Yikes.
Woof.
And with 30 yards on 18 carries out of Ray Rice, I can't imagine that it's any better this week. Let's see. Derek Arnold at Be More Bird's Nest said, run section of the Ravens playbook consists of, quote, running back hit in the backfield right, and, quote, running back hit in the backfield left.
I feel like I'm playing like a Madden game there.
I know, right? Realize,
oh, I take a loss of 3 yards for hit X. I take a loss of 3 yards.
I really feel like Ray Rice needs to you know, become more acquainted with the circle button to hit that spin move. And, you know, we'll get more of that. Some other great tweets. Ethan Felderstein from Orioles Uncensored. Hashtag Ravens run game is equivalent to the Orioles offense with runners in scoring.
That's
position.
Just harsh.
That is
There's
rough.
A difference between like last and like middle of the road. So look, I think we're drawing too many, you know, negative comparisons here.
And then from this week, again for the Ravens, anything with a head of bow. I think if you just search ahead of Bo, you will see the dregs of human society in the commentary of what happened with ahead of Bo.
I feel like ahead of Bo is more of like a fan graph where you see it go up, 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 and then it goes immediately down.
No, it doesn't go immediately down because it usually gets tipped and hit up a little bit. Thanks for setting that up on a tee for me. I really appreciate that.
That's pretty much the only way you can hit a ball.
It is on a tee. Other things from Twitter this past week. Twitter's where I learned about Gary Kubiak. Dude, rough week for NFL coaches.
Yeah. Who thought that it would be that stressful to walk back to the locker room?
That's tough. You know, and especially if the Ravens are going to keep losing like this, you start to worry about Harbs.
I'm thinking segues on the sidelines from now on.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Here's another
question. This is probably why they didn't let Jack Del Rio wear a suit. Too much weight on him.
Don't talk about suits and NFL coaches. You know that's a sore spot with me. I'm not going to get sidetracked. We're going to move on. Also from Twitter, dude, when did there get to be so many damn MLB-related awards?
The Roy Lades Relief Award and all kinds of things. So just, you can't pay attention to this. If someone gets an award, it doesn't matter. I never even know there was a Platinum Award that, you know, Platinum Glove that Manny Machado got. I mean, these are just made-up awards now. Don't buy it. It doesn't matter. The Orioles didn't make the playoffs. Awards are nice, but wins and playoff victories are more special.
But, I mean, am I making this up? I feel like there's more attention paid this year to, like, all these crazy awards. Like, Dan Duquette just won the Mid-Atlantic Writers
Association. Jake, you just miss baseball a lot more right now.
Oh. Okay. All right, last thing from the Twitters this week, and that was, that's where I heard that Joe Mauer will be moving full-time to first base in 2014. Say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so.
Meh.
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 All I can tell you is that Weider's competition in the catching department, his offensive numbers are going to look a lot better now. Because you take Joe Mauer out of the equation.
I disagree entirely. Because one thing with Chris Davis back there behind catcher,
oh, stop
watch
it.
Out.
No, stop it.
And it's going to be like Bugs Bunny. He's going to throw the ball to himself and hit 60 home runs.
Left field, Bugs Bunny. Right field, Bugs Bunny. Yeah. All right. So that's enough out of the twat for the moment. Hey, let's take a quick break. I want to talk about some Orioles notes from the last week or so, and maybe talk some pitching.
All right, we'll be right back.
We're back, and we're here to talk a little pitching. This week, the Orioles got a new pitching coach and a new bullpen coach. We talked last time we got together about the fact that the pitching coach and the bullpen coach really don't have a ton. Yeah, we're not that excited about it. Dave Wallace is going to be the new pitching coach for the Orioles. And most recently named, Dom Chidi is going to be the new bullpen coach.
Who?
Yeah, doesn't that sound like a made-up name? That sounds like the type of name you would give at like a hotel if you're trying to sneak in.
I think we got static going across the mic. What was the name again?
Dom Chidi.
Dom Chidi.
That's what I read.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Sure. You're pulling my leg on this one.
Apparently, he started his coaching career with the Orioles. He's in the Braves organization until just recently.
Si, senor.
Yeah, right. But he has both ties to Buck Showalter. He was on one of Showalter's staffs. And he has obvious ties to Dave Wallace. So he's going to be the new bullpen coach. Scott McGregor is going to go back to his previous role as the pitching rehab coordinator. And Bill Castro is out. After having said that he's a organizational guy, he turned down whatever gig the Orioles offered him.
Well, I mean, he's probably just taking a personal leave.
No, I think the Orioles offered him a Major League scout position, and he said that he would go pursue other options.
Yeah, I think that's probably a decent move on his part.
Well, I mean, assuming he gets another gig as a coach.
He'll get a gig as a coach in some AAA organization.
Okay, sure, yeah. But not as a Major League coach.
No, but he'll get a AAA job, maybe lead a AAA organization. Mm.
I don't know. If you look at the status of the Orioles pitching, I'm not sure anybody really is going to jump at the chance to get a hold of that. That's one of the reasons I actually like the moves, because we're pulling talent from the Braves organization, and they've got a much stronger pitching program than we do. So I'm all about poaching from other organizations that do it better than we do. And if we can bring any of that magic that the Braves organization has to our...
Gosh, it's like we almost had like a Braves pitching coach before. Oh, that couldn't have happened, though.
Okay. Leo Mazzoni was the pitching coach during... like the darkest days of the organization. Wasn't he like Hayden Penn's pitching coach? Is that the era that I'm thinking? Am I right on that?
Sidney Ponson,
Daniel Cabrera,
Jim Johnson.
Okay, let's stop this right here. This is getting more and more depressing. He probably had Jason Johnson. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, we've laughed about the pitching coach and the bullpen coach is not really mattering, but let's talk, and, you know, I'm not asking you for a formal who's making your five-man rotation, but, I mean, who's in the discussion for being a starter next year? I think that clearly Tillman and probably Chen are your clear guys that are just right there. They've got spots held for them. Who else do you think factors into that equation?
Oh, you want more people?
Yeah. It can't be Tillman, Wei, and Chen, and then Pui for Wayne, or however that rhyme would go. I can't make that happen.
All right, I'm going to say Tillman, Chen, Gonzalez, Feldman, and Gossman.
Okay. So, Bud Norris to the bullpen?
Oh, I forgot about Bud Norris. All right, I take that back. Feldman doesn't get signed. Bud Norris.
Yikes. Okay, I think that there's a very good chance that we sign a guy like Feldman, and then he's our number...
six?
Three.
Number three?
Behind Tillman and Chen? Wouldn't you slot Feldman there?
Where's all the...
I said our number three, not on a real club. I said our number three.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, isn't that where you'd slot him?
Feldman?
Yes.
I'm not sure if I'd slot Feldman at number five.
Well, if they get him, that's the thing. If they get him.
Ooh.
I don't expect that they're going to go out and get a real pitcher. You know, Garza's not... we're not going to be in that market. We're not going to be in the market for Irvin Santana or anything like that. The Orioles just won't do that.
That's Scott Kazmir.
It's a possibility. If he's willing to give up years and money, sure. I mean, if he wants to sign a piddly contract, yes, we'd be happy to sign him to one.
Who are you? And when did you take over my body?
I'm just saying, I'm being pragmatic about this. But once you get past...
pragmatic or realistic?
Okay, whichever. Once you get past those first two guys and whoever else they bring in, no one else is really guaranteed a spot. I can think of plenty of scenarios in which Miguel Gonzalez is pushed to the bullpen. He struggled last year, and, you know, maybe we bring in some other middling starters who maybe have more of a track record than he does. I can see plenty of situations in which Gossman starts in AAA, and maybe he starts for us, and maybe he doesn't. I can also see, and this hurts me, but I can also see a situation in which the Orioles try to take somebody out of the bullpen and give them an opportunity to start.
Like TJ McFarland?
Okay, TJ McFarland, maybe. Unlikely, but maybe.
That's disgusting, by the way. How dare you even say it's a possibility? That's disgusting.
Look, you brought it up. I was going to say Mattis or Hunter.
No way.
It's possible?
No way.
You don't think they try to get some sort of value out of Mattis, or do you think he's out there to stay?
No way.
Look, I hope to God he stays out in the bullpen. I'm just saying, when it comes to the Orioles and decisions that they've made about pitching in the past, you don't think that that's in their playbook for them to go back to?
If that's the case, let's go ahead and bring Zach Britton back into the starting rotation, okay?
I don't think that's a good idea either.
You don't think that's a good idea?
No.
Okay.
I think that the pitching... I think the starting pitching staff is a weakness for the Orioles, and they need to address it in the offseason, and they probably won't.
So, World 5 draft.
You mean TJ McFarland 2.0, wherever right. That is?
Wah, 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 wah! Oh, man. You know, if we were to combine TJ McFarland with Ryan Flaherty, just... think of the player we would have on our hands.
No, I won't. I won't think of it.
He might even be a quadruple A player at that point.
I also wonder if, when it comes to the Rule 5 draft, actually, if we won't see the Orioles select somebody from the Braves organization. I mean, we've now got two guys with great intel on the organization and their 40-man roster, and who didn't make the roster. Could be an interesting opportunity.
Yes, because the Braves organization has always been known to make careless moves like that.
Okay. Okay. Fine. So not everybody's the Indians or wherever the hell
that to be fair, they are moving to Podunk, North Atlanta. Oh, we've got a 20-year-old stadium. Let's move out to the country. Yes.
Yeah. So
worst idea ever.
But it's all about parking. They're underserviced by 5,000 spots. This is only about parking, not about the fact that we can strong-arm the local community for money and get naming rights to the stadium. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
All right. So
wish I really could edit this out, but
yeah, if only we had the power after the fact to go. No, that's work. All right. So the Orioles.
I like how Zach from Baltimore Sports Report is just like, yeah, you guys have the ability to edit out. I'm just like, what? What do you mean you get to edit stuff out?
No, that's a lot of work.
After I heard I was the editor, though, that explained everything.
It did. It did explain a lot. All right, so the Orioles pitching, I'm just going to say it's in a state of flux, and we'll probably be disappointed by the offseason.
So it's going to be like Orioles seasons pre-2012. We're most likely going to be disappointed.
But hey, at least we'll probably go out and get a big bat to compensate for it. No.
Anyway, continue on. At least we got the Ravens season.
Ouch.
All right. Let's take a quick break. I'd like to come back and talk about something that's been bothering me. We'll be right back. Alright, enough. I'm tired of Seven Nation Army.
I like that song.
I can't stand anymore. I'm done with it. I don't want to hear it ever again. It is so overdone at this point that I can't stand it. I've heard it at every single game, whether it be an NFL game, the Chiefs are playing, the Chargers are playing. It doesn't matter. I've heard it way too many times to be used for Orioles or Ravens or any Baltimore team. Fact of the matter is, Baltimore music is stale, and there needs to be a change, and Seven Nation Army is the first thing that needs to go.
All right. Whoa. First of all, whoa.
Don't whoa me! This is gone!
I like that song.
That's fine, you can like that song, but it can no longer be used as a chant.
Okay, but outside of sports, I like that song.
See, it's kind of dead for me. I'm sorry.
Really?
It's dead.
It's a great song.
It's a great song, like, 8 years ago.
Oof. All right. Sorry, I guess that's my old man music choice. I happen to enjoy that song.
That's fine. Were you still in college when that song came out?
Shut up. See, usually with this show, it's me going off on rants and you just trying to keep it together. I think we're going to switch this around today. You know what, Scott? This rant, it's all about you, and you hate Seven Nation Army. That's fine, okay? But you can't bring a problem without a solution. Do you have one in your back pocket?
Well, no. I'm not known to be the one that is culturally talented or anything like that. I'm just here to yell and scream and basically prove a point that Seven Nation Army has no point on being part of Baltimore music any further. So with that, I'm challenging Baltimore. Abandon Seven Nation Army. It's been overdone. It's been overused. It's been used by other teams. Come up with something that's more creative. And that includes a bunch of other things, including, well, let's see, other songs I can think of. Orioles Magic.
Yeah, you know the crowd will just get really into the game. Whatever they're doing, they're going to stop when Orioles Magic plays.
Well, I mean, there's just a lot of the music. When you go to Camden Yards and you listen to some of the music, I'm going to go through a few music that's played. You have Orioles Magic. You have Thank God I'm a Country Boy. And then you have, like, Why Not, Glad You Came occasionally. There really is no great music from that. The only one I would even keep from that whole list is Orioles Magic. I would definitely get rid of Thank God I'm a Country Boy from the seventh inning. That is redneck draw. And we're from Harford County. I can tell you, you know, maybe the Shiroka boys like that because they heard goats. But for us people that actually have some culture and class, who wants to hear that during the seventh inning stretch?
You are all on your own on this one, buddy.
You actually want to keep Thank God I'm a Country Boy?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because it's tradition.
Oh, that's bunk. That's such bunk.
See, now the thing is, you're trying to keep Seven Nation Army from becoming tradition. That's all good and fine.
No, I mean, if people want to keep Seven Nation Army as a tradition, that's fine. But my effect of the matter is it's really not that creative. The Ravens were the first ones to come up with it. In fact, they just stole it from a bunch of other people because they wanted to chant because their fight song failed so miserably that they're like, well, guess we can't get our marching band to get a song, so we're going to create a new song that we basically can sing and hum along in the stadium. And the Aerosmith was like, hot damn, that's a good idea. It's got the word O in there. We can make that work in our stadium.
All right, I need to stop you on so many fronts. First of all, as a band geek, I have to defend the Baltimore Marching Ravens. First of all, the Ravens had a fight song.
Can I ask you a question? Why do we even have a marching band?
Oh, stop it. The Ravens...
Those are extra seats that I could be sitting in right now.
There's going to be a fight on this podcast. It's going to come to blows. The Baltimore Marching Ravens had a fight song.
Threatening you with your trombone?
A little bit.
Okay.
And Baltimore...
Is it a sousaphone or...
Baltimore was not...
Is that even a real instrument?
It's a flugelhorn, thank you.
Flugelhorn, okay.
Baltimore proved that they weren't over their last girlfriend, and so they insisted on having the Colts fight song back, but reworked. Anyway, what are we talking about here? Look, you brought up the fact that you hate Seven Nation Army, and that's fine, but it gets us to the point where we talk about the intersection of music and Orioles baseball, and you're right. You're right, we have this you know, we have this catalog, if you will, of songs that are out there. Obviously, Orioles Magic, why not? Thank God I'm a country boy. You brought up Glad You Came, which I'm glad that you brought that up, and glad you came. Anyway, because I think that it shows that you can bring in music and kind of acclimate it to a season or the team or a player and make fans identify with that. I don't think the Orioles are doing a good enough job. But
what?
But let me ask you this. Isn't some of this on the players?
No.
Okay, Scott, if you go to any major league ball club's website, they have a page of walk-up music, right? If you go through players' walk-up music, it is invariably crap. Invariably crap. I will tell you that, be it batters or pitchers, almost all of the music that they play, I think, is garbage. I think that the one song...
What do you think is garbage? The country music that they play? The rap music that they play?
All of the above.
Wow.
The one song that stuck out to me that I liked, personally, was Foo Fighters, which Jim Johnson used. And that became synonymous with, you know, him coming out and, you know, they blared over the speakers and the crowd would get into it before they started booing him. But I think that the players have some, you know, responsibility for coming up with walk-up music that doesn't suck. And I think that the team also has to make music part of the ballpark experience and unique. So I guess to a certain extent, though, I like the song itself. I can kind of agree with you that the whole Seven Nation Army thing for baseball, for the Orioles, not really what you're going to want. But, I mean, what else can you do? I think that there are some songs that they're playing at the stadium that, you know, like they want to get people into, but nobody's really bit. Like there's a song by 30 Seconds to Mars that has...
Do you know that band?
No.
Wow.
No,
okay.
I don't. The kids that I chase off my lawn, they say it's a big thing. But it's got a bunch of O's in it, and so they're like, oh, well, it's got an O in it, so we might as well play it. And, you know...
Yeah, they play this at the stadium.
Yeah, no, it's crap.
Yeah.
It's crap. It's absolute crap. But I think that you know, if all you need to have a song played at the stadium is that it has an O in it, I mean, there's a great catalog of other songs that are out there.
Okay, like what?
Well, I mean, there's practically... I mean...
Okay.
I'm just saying it's a stupid thing. That's all I'm saying. O is not enough to make a real song that people are going to want to get into. I think, though, that there is one time that the stadium... I don't even know who runs the music booth. There's one time that they get it right, and I want to praise them for this, and that is any rain delay. They go in and they find every song that they can possibly dig up that has anything to do with rain. Rain by the Beatles, November Rain, No Rain by Blind Melon. I mean, that's the one time where I'm like, huh, okay, they actually thought about this. That's fine. But other than that, I really feel like the musical experience at the ballpark, it's a little weak. Because you don't have a you know, solution right there for you. I do have a couple of songs that I think that they absolutely do need to be playing. Some they are, some they aren't.
Okay, go ahead.
I think they need to play that Oh Yeah song from Ferris Bueller. You know the one I'm talking about, mm-hmm. right? They do play that sometimes, but I think they need to play it way more often. I think they need to play it, like, borderline annoying often. Because that actually makes sense. It has that, like, moment in time thing for, you know, us older folk.
Okay.
That will appreciate the Ferris Bueller tie-in. I also think that they need to adopt Surfin' Bird.
Okay.
I feel like they don't do a good enough job of that, and they really ought to. I'm just saying. All right, now I'm sorry. Here's one request I do have. If you walk up and down the steps in the stadium, you know, they've got stuff painted all over the walls. One of them is music, and so it has, you know, Thank God I'm a Country Boy and a bunch of other stuff. But there's this there's a song on there that's the Baltimore Orioles March by like J.E. Magruder or something like that.
Magruber. Are you making this up?
Magruber? No, it's up there, I swear to God. Okay. And I've always thought to myself, like, what does that sound like? Why don't we, is it a march? Like, why don't we hear that ever? And the reason you don't hear that ever is because it's impossible to find. I have scoured the internet, all I can find is sheet music. So apparently a recording of this song does not exist for our listening pleasure. But I think that would be a cool thing. It's got the team name right there in it. Has to be worth something, right?
Okay, that's fine.
They put it up on the wall.
All right.
I'm just saying that that's a lack of follow-through.
All I'm saying is, if you really believe that's a real song, and you don't think it was just like, shit, we got an extra wall here, let's just put something up.
All right, fair enough. How about some stuff they should absolutely not play?
Let's see. Anything that they shouldn't play. Anything Frank Sinatra would be one that I can think of.
Shut your mouth.
Neil Diamond's pretty much out of the equation at this time as well. Let's see. Anything that is by like Pink or Lady Gaga or Katy Perry or like Kesha or anything like that needs to stop being played at the ballpark, because I have no clue what the hell that stuff is, and I can't imagine a single person that gets up and dances to that.
All right, now you're starting to sound like the old man.
I am an old man, okay?
I was thinking more baseball, really. Like, I don't think they should play anything by Terry Cashman, because that guy's a hack.
Okay.
You know, because it's got the Orioles stuff in it, and they should not play that, even a little bit.
Okay.
The other thing is, you got to think that no musician wants their music to turn into stadium rock. Like, that... Nobody wants that. Do you think Jack White is any happier than you are that Seven Nation Army has played at Camden Yards?
No, me and Jack White just were talking on the phone, and he basically told me to go on this podcast and basically tell his followers and our followers that he didn't want us to play Seven Nation Army ever again.
You know, I'm not buying that.
He also hit up with a copyright lawsuit, so we can't play that song ever again.
Yeah, if only this was the Baltimore Ons episode 70. All right, so I have a couple of suggestions that I feel like, you know, might make some inroads towards having a better experience at the ballpark to play some songs. But I'm going to warn you, I'm not sure you're going to like any of this.
Probably not. Go ahead.
All right. I think that, you know, if we're not going to be able to play in the O or anything like that, we've got to have some hook. It can't just be, oh, this is a rock song that we're going to turn into stadium rock. It has to be something that people are going to recognize and that also people can get into. I think it's really important that it's like an existing song. So if you'll please indulge me, I have a couple of suggestions that I think might be a little bit better.
Okay.
Are you with me so far?
Go ahead.
All right, here we go.
What is this?
What is this? Really?
Is this Freebird?
Yes.
This is terrible.
Isn't that other guy on the radio always want to free the birds? Isn't that what that's about?
No. How dare you even bring his name up? Stop mentioning his name!
Seriously, you don't think that you play the loud part of Freebird and people will get into it? Okay,
no!
Let me set the stage. Let me set the stage. You said you were going to hear me.
I'm trying to hear you here.
The Orioles are at bat. Runners on second and third. They're threatening. It's a situation in which there's a pitching change. The stadium is trying to keep the fans into it. And you don't think that people will get up for the end of Freebird?
No! There's no lyrics! People want to get up and cheer to lyrics. They don't want to be going air guitaring it the whole time. This is absolutely horrible. Move on. Next one.
You're a terrible American.
Yeah.
I want to see your full form birth certificate. Really? Freebird? No?
No. In fact, those people, whoever wrote that song and played that song, should just go down in a plane crash and just die, okay?
Ooh. Really?
What?
You're going there?
What?
Yeah. Okay.
Too far?
Little too far. All right. So you are clearly a terrible person, but you also can't get into Leonard Skinner. I don't understand this. Look, let's move on. My second suggestion...
Maybe it's because I'm not a redneck.
Oh, good Lord. My second suggestion is, you know, you want it to be unique. Well, let's have it be unique to the city, to the town. I think that this would be a great tune to play, maybe before games or, you know, between innings, maybe after a win, something like that. Maybe not, you know, during the game itself, but just give it a listen real quick. That's Baltimore by Roy Buchanan. Okay, what's your complaint there?
I really don't have a complaint about that. I just don't know where you would play it, that's all. I think it's a decent song.
I'm going to give you that point. I don't really know where I was going with that either. But it's a cool song, and it mentions Baltimore. And I think it has a place in the stadium.
It's a place in the stadium. I just don't know where you play it. I could see it like doing like a pregame music. But
Right. I'm with you on that.
But past that, I don't know where else you could play it. I don't see it as a real pump-up music or anything like that.
All right. Well, here's one that I do think has a place at the stadium. It's one that we can clearly figure out. Whenever we are, you know, in between innings and we're playing, you know, clips of the good old days, we are...
So 1970 to 1983?
Basically anything before 1998. Gotcha. But no, you know, so they're playing the... Playing the replays of great Oriole teams of the past, this is what I'm recommending.
Okay. It's got like a twang to it.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of cheese to it.
No, I'm mixing it right here. I'm sorry.
Not loving the Earl Weaver?
No. I mean, this comes back to the whole aspect of, like with Orioles Magic. I love Orioles Magic, but you listen to the names that are in there and the Roar from 34. Well, the Roar from 34 is not there anymore. There is no Memorial Stadium. There has to be something that is new. And I understand that there's tradition and everything like that, but things need to be changed. There is tradition, but there's also the aspect of building a brand new fan base with the bunch of us 20 and 30-year-olds and starting from scratch.
I don't know. At the same time, I don't think there's anything wrong with going back to the roots of the franchise.
No, you can reminisce on it, but it can't be the only thing. And that's the only thing right now in this franchise is stuff from the 70s. And the Orioles need their own identity right now. And there is no musical identity out there.
So you're saying that going too far back is a bad thing?
I'm saying that you have to have a foundation. But you have to have something new to go along with it, too. Glad You Came was a good example of that. It kind of gave a new spin on, you know, something. But it was a good one and done. But nothing further has been done. So I hold doubt and anger to the Orioles at this moment.
All right. So I don't think you're going to like my last recommendation, though.
Oh, my God. Please tell me it's not going to be that bad. Please tell me it's not going to be that bad. Go ahead.
It's going to be that bad.
All right.
All right. So you don't like going back too far. is the,
what is this?
It's the Ragtime Oriole.
Did Sam Dingman put you up to this?
He did not.
He would be so proud. He's probably got wood right now just hearing this.
I'm just going to point out, I was the only one that prepared for this segment. Okay. Between the two of us, I was the only one that brought music.
To be fair, this is a segment right up your alley, though.
It gave me an...
You know nothing about baseball, but know a lot about music, so...
Anytime I can bring Ragtime into the discussion, it's a bad day. All right, no, seriously, though, I agree with you that we've got to come up with something, but, you know, I haven't really put my finger on what it needs to be, so I'm gonna put this out to the listeners. What needs to be played at Camden Yards? You know, what's our signature song? You know, the Steelers have Renegade,
yep.
Which you brought up earlier. It's a great point. You know, we wanted it to be Seven Nation Army for the Ravens, but again, to your credit, you say it's not really original. What is going to be our thing?
Right. What is a Baltimore song, or what could be an Orioles song that can be, you know, something that the Orioles can adopt? It doesn't have to be anything about, it doesn't have to have an O in it. It doesn't have to have Baltimore in it. It doesn't have to have anything like that. It just has to be a song that will pump up the crowd enough that you'll basically stand up and want to rip your shirt off and be like, yeah!
And by the way, Scott has made the rule that it can't be Ragtime.
No, it can't be Ragtime. Sorry. Sorry, Baltimoreans. No Ragtime.
All right. So with that, we're gonna please tell us what music, you know, should we adopt for the Orioles.
I'm going to put a challenge out there.
Oh, no.
And this is a good challenge. And this, I will actually...
The last time you challenged somebody, we had to play stupid music at the front of the show.
This is a challenge, and I guarantee this will not happen, is that if somebody can get a song to replace the seventh inning Thank God I'm a Country Boy, I will buy you season tickets.
Oh, Lord.
I'll buy you season tickets. But it'll never happen. But I'll buy you season tickets.
All right. Last thing on music.
The fact of the matter is we've got great musicians in town. We've got the Madden Brothers, who are big Orioles fans from Good Charlotte. They should be able to put together something quick. We got Warning Track Power, who has put together several Orioles songs. They should be able to remix one of their songs and make it happen. And frankly, not to mention, we've got the talented Burt Rohde out there from Section 336, who you can hear playing week in and week out at the Bowman Restaurant. Yes, that's right, the Bowman Restaurant over in Parkville. You should go check him out. You know, drop a dollar in his tip jar. Try to help support Section 336 in their ever-growing conquest, be the number one Baltimore podcast out there. But Burt, really? I know you can't spell letters correctly when you're going up and doing the Orioles thing, but can't you write a good song about the Orioles? Thanks. Get to work on that. I would appreciate it.
All right. Last thing about music. When we talk about the intersection of Orioles baseball and music, the conversation always comes up. All right. If you are a Major League Baseball player, Scott, what is your walk-up music?
You want me to go first, or you want to go first?
Oh, no, I want to hear it.
Okay. I think there's only one selection that I can pick that is applicable, and I think it's a clear winner, so be prepared. Ready?
Really? You know, you only get like 10 seconds of this song.
No, I disagree entirely.
Where they're going to stop the game and just let your song play.
No, you just go out of the batter's box and you just adjust your gloves and everything. You just pull the whole David Ortiz thing where you like bang your butt off and everything. You're just like doing your hips back and forth, and the ladies are just like literally jumping on the field at you at this moment.
No, they're not.
I guarantee it. It's all about the stroke, baby.
No, it is not all about the stroke. I disagree with every fiber of my body.
Sorry. You're wrong.
Get rid of that, would you?
Get rid of what?
That.
The what?
The stroke.
Stroke and rocking. All right, I'll stop now.
It is such a good thing that this is a audio production.
Did you like that dance move?
No, I did not like any part of it.
That's pretty good, I thought.
Did you?
Yeah, you know when we play a softball game? It would be really cool if everyone came out with their own walkout music.
That would be nice, yeah. 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 You can get a boombox.
Yeah.
You're like saying anything, just hold it up.
Boombox, really?
What else are you going to use?
There's like wireless speakers now.
Really?
Yeah, imagine that.
Get out of town.
Yeah. All right, what would you choose for your walk-up music?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that I would make a selection by the best band ever.
The Beatles?
Well, at least you knew which one I was talking about.
All right, that's not bad.
All right, 10 seconds of that or so. I think that would be enough to get my blood pumping a little bit.
It's no the Stroke, but it's not bad.
You're right. It is no the Stroke. I think that's the best thing you could say about any song.
So, well done there, Jake. That's a good walk-up song. Might just a little bit better.
I might also go with the Ragtime Oriole. I mean, I think that'd be a nice...
Ragtime Oriole? Yeah, I think we're going to have to leave that to, you know, Sam and Alan.
All right, I was just impressed that there was a Ragtime Orioles song out there.
Yeah, that is pretty impressive. But let's let Sam and Alan take that as their
intro. You said we were going to do music this week, and so I decided to make it hurt as much as possible for you. Although you did win with the Stroke. So again, back out to the listeners, if anybody's still awake. Let us know, what song do they need to play at the stadium to get the crowd into it? What are we replacing Seven Nation Army with? I think it's a valid question. We'll throw it out there. Scott, is there anything else as far as Orioles baseball this week that we can get into that won't start a fist fight?
Well, I'd actually like to close the show an old favorite of ours. You know what that is?
No, I'm frightened at this point.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right. All right, it's that time. It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. And because Scott is better at this, and I like to have him have the last word, I'm going to go ahead and get started. My good for this week, hear me out, James Ahedebo.
Okay.
James Ahedebo actually had a really great game.
Two interceptions. Yeah. His first two career interceptions, too, for a nine-year veteran. So
he also tied for the team lead in tackles in that game.
Yeah.
He was all over the place. He was making plays, and if it weren't for that last play in regulation, this would have been a sparkling day for him and a really breakthrough day.
Well, I mean, not to mention that, but him coming up to the line, too, and guarding against Giovanni Bernard basically helped to shut down some of the Cincinnati defense and put some hard hits on Bernard as well, specifically against a running back that had hurt ribs coming into this game. So, yeah, I can see Ahedebo being in the good category.
I think too many people are going to focus on that one play.
I'm going to let you go to your bad really quickly.
Yeah, my bad is James Ahedebo.
Oh, why would you say that? How can you be your good and your bad?
Because it was awful what happened in the last play of regulation.
You mean the bump?
The tip, the bump, the brain fart, the whatever you want to call it. Dude, why in the name of God would you tip that ball up? And I know, you know, he was just reacting and it happened so fast, but dude, he's a professional football player. A mistake like that should not happen.
Yeah.
I aged 12 years because of that football game, just because of James
Ahedebo. So what are you, like 68 now?
Thank you.
No problem.
I appreciate that. So that's my good and my bad. I've blown them both. What's your good?
Okay, my good for the week is turtle soup.
Excuse me?
Turtle soup. I had turtle soup this week, and it is everything that Gary Thorne and Jim Palmer have promised and praised about.
But it wasn't the 4th of July.
It doesn't matter. Turtle soup is awesome. Especially when your waiter comes to you and says, these are really feisty turtles, which makes it an even better soup. Awesome.
I'm sorry. He actually said these are really feisty turtles.
Well, these were very feisty turtles, and this makes a really good soup. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Go get turtle soup whenever you get a chance. It is awesome.
Okay, I am horrified to think what your bad is.
My bad is Ray Rice. Ray Rice.
Gee, why?
Yeah, as we've already pointed out, Ray Rice is absolutely abysmal right now. Not just in terms of the running game, but also if you look at the overtime period where he got out into free space with the dump off and not being able to break one-on-one coverage and get basically ankle tackled. Ray Rice does not look like even, you know, a shade of the player that he was last year.
He's a far cry from that 4th and 29. Let's put it that way.
That's a great point. He's a far cry from a 4th and 29 player, and I don't know if he just hit the wall or if it's just a hit pointer, but Ray Rice, you're ugly, and you're on notice.
All right, let me go ahead to my ugly. My ugly goes out to Ken Rosenthal. He wrote a piece this week, which I responded to kind of on the website, and you can go ahead and read that if you want. But he basically said the Orioles are exploring the possibility of trading Matt Wieters now while he's still got a couple of years on his contract and going and getting some prospects for him and then picking up Jared Saltalamacchia in the free agent market. That is crap. That is a writer just throwing something up on the wall to see if it sticks. The Orioles are exploring the possibility. What possibilities aren't the Orioles and every other major league team exploring? Right. They're thinking about the possibility of maybe kind of sort of thinking about trading Matt Wieters. So I'm going to write that and get everybody, including Jake English, to respond to it. It's just there's no news, so they're trying to generate news. And that's crap.
Can I ask you a question? Did he mention any teams that were interested in Matt Wieters?
No.
Okay. Because I would just look at it and say there are plenty of other free agent catchers on the market right now, such as McCann and Saltalamacchia. Why would I be interested in going and trading prospects when I can go get a catcher that I don't have to trade top prospects for?
Well, I mean, Wieters would come cheaper than those guys.
But you're giving up top-level prospects for him, so why wouldn't you go out and spend the money through free agency? This doesn't really make any sense. I mean, I would just have to come back and say, what teams would be interested in a catcher right now that actually had the prospects? You're basically going to have to be looking at a playoff team, I would think. And what playoff team really does need a catcher right now?
Yeah, that's a solid question. And look, the thing is,
the only team I can think of would be like the Yankees, but there is no way the Orioles are going to trade it to the Yankees right now.
No way. And you know, Wieters is all world defensively, but he's clearly disappointed.
He's actually had a very mid-road defensive year last year, to be fair. So let's not call him great in defense.
His usual play is far above average.
Okay, so we're willing to write off last year as an outlier.
Yes.
Okay. That's fine. I'll take it as an outlier. But here's the other comment back to the trade. If you give consideration that this is Matt Wieters' worst year to date, why would you trade him at his lowest value?
Well, because he's running out of time on his contract.
Then why wouldn't you trade Chris Davis, who's at his highest point of value?
Totally different discussion.
Okay.
Totally different discussion.
We can get into that another night.
I'm beating up on Ken Rosenthal for making up stuff where it didn't exist.
So Ken Rosenthal?
Oh, he's on notice.
He's on notice?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, so you've already given notice, but who's your ugly this week?
My ugly for the week is going to go to John Harbaugh. I'm just getting really tired of the coach speak. The fact that he doesn't want to really come out and mention that Ray Rice is hurt during press conferences and is going to his players and saying, you got to tell them that you're perfectly healthy and there's nothing wrong with you. The fact that he keeps emphasizing the aspect of, you know, we're a team and we're going to pick each other up and we're willing to go the extra mile. We've got a lot of veterans on this team. Just cut the bullshit and just tell me what the truth, what's going on. You are not Bill Belichick. You don't need to be wearing a hoodie on the sidelines. Just be straight with me. We're not stupid. You're not stupid. Just come out and be honest with me. You know, when I hear these press conferences, it just gives me a greater appreciation for the press conferences that Buck has at the end of each game. You know, you actually go into those and you actually feel like you get one or two bits of nuggets, and also you get some personality that comes out of Buck where you're like, okay, he loves baseball as much as I do. Harbaugh really just strikes me more as an individual of, yeah, he loves football, but the same token of, he's the kind of bullshitter that's just like, yeah, I'm just going to jostling you along so that you can get out of my hair, and then I'm going to go back to where Buck really feels like he's sitting down and trying to not so much lecture you, but kind of share the love that he has for the game and the love for his players that he wants to share with you and say, did you notice this during the game? Because this is what I noticed during the game.
I will say that I agree with you that you get a lot of coach speak with Harbaugh, but you do get a lot of coach speak with Showalter too in those pressers. I also agree with you.
I like our guys.
I also agree with you that you get more out of Showalter than you do out of Harbaugh, especially because I feel like there's something to be said for if you have a horrible loss, Harbaugh or Buck Showalter can go and say, yeah, but did you see that great play that Manny Machado made in the third inning? Or that double play that we induced to end the inning in the fifth, that was really the linchpin of the game. Sure, we coughed it up late in the eighth, but at the fifth, we really made the plays that we needed to play, and we're gonna build on that. With Harbaugh, you get, oh no, I thought our line blocked really well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crap. It's a totally different environment. Yeah, so
It's just crap. It's insulting intelligence of this town. And this town is a very knowledgeable town, both in baseball and football. And to come out and be like, eh, you don't know what you're talking about, you're ignorant, just is a slap in the face of the Baltimore fan. This is a team, this is a fan base that travels along with the team a lot. This isn't just a fair weather based city like Pittsburgh that doesn't want to go to home games. You know, Pittsburgh didn't fill their entire stadium up against the Bills this weekend. Baltimore does not want to be like that for football. We are a city that's very passionate about it. So don't give us lip service of, well, I think everything's going okay. Things are not going okay. Be honest with us. Be aggressive. And go out there and tell us what the hell you're thinking and what the hell's going wrong. Oh, and fire Juan Castillo. Thanks.
Yeah. Ravens season is not fun this year. And the thing is, we won that last game. The Ravens won last week, but it did not feel like a win.
No.
I've never been more exhausted after a win than this past week.
But we're not going to be those guys. We're going to say it's Ravens season. In fact, from a person that just went and visited New Orleans, I can tell you right now, after seeing the way that city supports the Saints, Baltimore, it's time to step your game up. Congratulations for winning the Super Bowl. That was last year. This is this year. What's our name? Ravens. What's our name? Ravens. What's our name? Ravens.
This coming from the guy who chided me 2 weeks ago for trying to talk Ravens.
I'm back, baby.
All right. That's what I like to see. And with that, I think we're going to wrap. Scott, another a fine program of talking about absolutely nothing. And with that, Baltimore Beyond, I bid you a fond adieu, adieu.
Good night, Baltimore.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.